In the name of God, who prunes us to prosper. Amen. We've just celebrated the Feast of Thanksgiving, which is the Thanksgiving for all of the fruits that have been brought in over the course of this past couple of months, the harvest season. I can't help but be reminded of the scene from where I come, Aglands, where we grow tree fruit. This time of year is one of my favorites. It's a liminal time. It's a transitional time in the orchard. It's a time when all of the boxes of fruit have been pulled out of the orchard. The remaining boxes that were not filled have been pulled out of the orchard. The porta potties for the season have been pulled out of the orchard. The hand washing stations for the season have been pulled out of the orchard. The filling stations for nutrients and chemicals have been pulled out of the orchard. The labor has been pulled out of the orchard. The fruit is off the trees. With it, the leaves. There's a new light on the floor of the orchard. You can see the green that's been there all season. It's just starting to fade to brown. And you can smell faintly that sweet smell of apples rotting. It's a wonderful smell. Mixed with wood smoke. If you go down one of the rows, you can still see the ruts of what has happened there all season. You can see where the tractors have driven. If you look closely, you can see where folks have set up trees for the or set up ladders for the harvest. There are signs that people have been there. And if you look up to the horizon down one of these rows, you can see this magnificent silhouette of trees against the low light. And if you look really closely, you notice that each of those trees has done what it needed to do for the season to get as much light as possible. There's a uniformity to it. Everything is reaching. You know that this is hard won over the course of a season. You know that at the start of the season, every tree did not look like that, because you know that between seasons, you enter this liminal period that we're heading to right now, this long, dark, cold season when the pruning happens. Sometime, depending on where you live, between January and March here, I understand. It's a time when the lover of the orchard takes care of the trees. It's the time when the lover of the orchard makes decisions about what pruning over the course of that winter will be aesthetic, just for shape, and how much of it will be radical. How many big branches need to go in order to make room within a given tree for its own thriving. Eventually, everything is cut, everything is piled, everything is sent to burn pile. And if you go out at that point, just before spring, you notice there is no uniformity at all. Every tree looks different, wonderfully diverse. You can't even begin to imagine what the lover of that orchard had in mind when they pruned this one down to darn near nothing, and yet this one right next to it is ready to go. You have no idea what has happened there, only that someone came through in the winter and tended to each tree individually, with a vision in mind for what that tree needed to thrive. If you look really closely down the row, you can see, as we do around the city when the city comes through and prunes our thoroughfare trees, there are some superficial cuts. You can see them, those little light-colored specks on the tips of the trees. But every so often, you'll find a spot where the whole center of a tree has been removed. A big cut. And it is often the case that the big cuts come from some of the older trees. It is often the case that some of those older trees have developed patterns of growing whatever it is that they grow that needs some thinning in the middle. So you see some radical cuts there. With some of the youngest trees, you see them yanked to the side with rope to try to shape them, to upright them when they've been fighting the wind, right? Because they need a little something special as well. There's just something beautiful about it. The care that goes into ensuring that each tree has exactly what it needs to prosper. And all we know, those folks who might show up and observe that, is that someone loved all this acreage into that. Someone who is a scientist, someone who is a technician, someone who is an artist, someone who's given everything they've got to make sure that this does what God intends for it to do. In our lives, we hear stories like we do from this morning's scripture, where we hear about one who comes into our life on a regular basis, particularly this time of year, the King of Kings and Lords of Lords, the one we've been waiting for all along, and that artist, that lover, that technician and scientist comes into our lives with a vision for us. A vision for what each one of us needs in our own lives to thrive. What each one of us needs in our own lives to bear the fruit that we've been created to bear on that God's behalf into the world for the sake of the world. This interesting little interaction that we've got, which probably feels a little disorienting this time of year since we normally hear this in the spring around Easter. This confrontation, this conversation between Pilate and Jesus about Jesus' kingship, I won't wade into the stuff I'll save for Easter, but I do want to note that it raises for us at least the prospect that there are multiple choices for kingship. We've got options. Pilate's wondering, are you the one? Are you the one who's been sent? Are you the king of the Jews, the one everyone's been expecting? Your own people don't even recognize it. Why should I? It raises for us only the specter as we prepare for Advent and the season of arrival that we have our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds prepared to recognize that king. But it first requires us to pay attention to our own expectations. What are we looking for? What are we waiting for? What's the pruning that we would never wish for ourselves? What's the superficial stuff that we don't want to let go of? What are the radical cuts? What are the radical cuts that we have no interest in? And were a king to show up and suggest to us, it's not only going to be superficial, but it's going to be radical. Would we recognize that king? Would we say yes to that king? Would we give that king the pruners and the loppers and the hacksaws to our hearts? Probably not. Right? Probably not. That's the wonderful part of the season, and it's the good news that it comes around every single year. Because every single year on this Sunday, our New Year's Eve to the liturgical year, because we start again next Sunday, this is our night. This is our day where we get clear about our hopes and our expectations so that as we prepare to receive the King during the season of Advent and Christmas, we know what we're looking for. And it's helpful to be aware that what we're looking for may not be what God is sending. It's just helpful to be honest about that. It's helpful to be honest about that. It's helpful to know that we're not open to the superficials or to the radical cuts. But it's good to know there's a tension there. And it's good to know that the lover of this orchard, the lover of the tangled mess of our hearts, will show up, will continue to extend an offer, will continue to desire to be in relationship with us, will continue to show up in the lives of people around us, and that God will prune where it's ready. Christ the King Sunday is the Sunday when we decide who is the pruner of our hearts. Who is the one we give that authority to? Who is the one we give that access to? Knowing full well that in the world around us we've got competing interests, we've got competing offers. We have some who will say, hey, you don't have to cut anything. Hey, how about instead of shrinking back so that you can thrive and the trees around you can thrive, let's cut everyone else down and make sure you're just bigger. Sounds pretty good to some trees. But we know that we're planted in community. We know that the health of one is the health of the many. We know that we're deeply connected. And so we know that your health is intimately bound with my health. We know that I need to tend to my soul so that I'm not getting in the way of you tending to your soul. We're partners with the one who comes to each one of us. We're partners in the work. Christ the King Sunday is the time when we say, my resolution for the year ahead is to say yes just a little bit more. To say yes not just to the superficials, to say yes not just to the radical stuff, but to say yes to the absolute uncertainty about what God is up to in each of us and among all of us. The question for us is this, ultimately, who rules our hearts? Who are we giving permission to shape us for flourishing? Who do we trust to love us into the fullness of our being? It's our choice. Many people will clamor to take that space this winter. It's up to us to know what we're looking for. Amen.